Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
Learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphans, plead for the widows. That is Isaiah 1:17. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and our guest today is Jessica Mullen, a North Carolina adoptive mom and founder of Option Adoption, a ministry on a mission to proclaim that there is another option to abortion, and that option is adoption. Welcome to the show, Jessica.
Thank you so much for having me, Sandra.
Oh, it's an honor to finally get this interview in. We're just talking earlier about all the spiritual opposition that has come against us and just trying to record this interview. So we know that the Lord has a message that has to go out, and the enemy is not liking this message. So we're going to be really excited to see what God does with this. So let's get started, shall we?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you have one biological son and one daughter, Blythe, who you adopted domestically. So let's just go back to the beginning a little bit. What led you and your husband to choose adoption?
Well, we had our son, and about a year later, we thought, well, we want to have another child to add to our family. And so we tried and tried and tried some more. And about a year after trying, we realized something just wasn't right. So we went to the doctor and found out that our son was actually what was considered a miracle baby. We had no idea that we had infertility issues. And so we were just shocked when we walked out of that office that day. And that's what took us down the path of adoption, was God just opened our hearts to the fact that he wanted us to grow our family in a different way, in a way that we really had never even talked about before we were married or even after we were married. So it was definitely a journey and just a really neat story behind how God brought all that together.
Wow. So you, in the end, chose domestic infant adoption.
Right.
Tell us about how God placed Blythe into your family.
Well, we had actually started an adoption process and had to end that process for different reasons, but we started our journey with an adoption agency and were told that we would essentially, probably wait 1 to 2 years. I don't know if your listening audience knows that, but sometimes it can be a really long wait during the adoption process. So we were prepared. We were kind of saddened by it because we wanted our kids not to be too far apart in age. And so it was kind of an interesting story, but it was really literally a few days that we had been waiting when we got a call. And we got that call that there was a young woman who had come into the adoption agency with her parents and wanted to seek out some couples that may be adoptive parents for her baby. And about a day later, we were driving, for an interview with her and her parents. They had a lot of questions for us. And so after we got to meet them, we loved them and they loved us. And we walked the rest of that pregnancy with Blythe's mom. And essentially, she came into the world a few months later. So it was an exciting journey for us.
Wow. And like you said, you walked with her mom, Blythe's birth mom, through that process. And were you able to be there in the delivery room and have that experience?
We were. Her birth mom was just so gracious. And she had in her mind from the beginning, she wanted Reggie and I there. And so it was just such an exciting night. I want to tell this part of the story because, adoption is different than having a child from your womb. You go into labor when you have a child from your womb. But I just want to say Blythe's entry into the world was just as exciting for us. I remember it was a Friday evening it was around 9:30 at night, and we had our bags packed. We had had them packed for a couple of weeks, just sitting right by our bedroom door in case we ever got a call. We had friends set up for our son to go stay with, because we knew we'd probably be in the hospital for days, you know, with this situation. So, all that to say, 9:30 at night, we're getting, you know, getting ready to go to bed. We get this call, and we're about 2.5 hours from where we had to drive. So we are just driving as fast as we can, because she says she's in labor, the baby's coming soon. We get there, and unfortunately her labor stops. So we all check into hotels, and then the next morning around 6 a.m., she goes back into labor, and she had really wanted me to be there during the labor and delivery, which was really precious to me. And she wanted Reggie to be the first one to feed her a bottle. And it was just a real precious time, because I was the first person to ever hold her. And I thought, wow, how selfless is that of her birth mom? You know, there's so many emotions I'm sure that she was feeling, but just to give that honor to me, and her words were, "I always want Blythe to know that you were there from the very first moment." And it just showed me her heart, just how much she loved this little girl, that she would want her adoptive mom and dad to be there from the very beginning. Yeah. So,
Crazy. Choosing for a birth mom to choose an adoption plan. So often people, the old term was, you know, put up your baby for adoption. And that's such
a sterile
sound, but it's such an important parenting decision for a birth mom to make. She chose you and your husband. She wanted you to be there, and she allowed you to be in this whole important part of the process. And you know, you got to be there for Blythe's entry into the world. And that is, you said it, just such a selfless act. And that's really putting the baby first. And that's just so incredible and wonderful. And I love that's part of your story. So, but not long after Blythe's adoption, you brought her home and you've been raising her, and you actually were called to do frontline abortion ministry. So tell us what that is, and tell us the story about how that came about.
Okay. Well, we had just adopted Blythe. It was around that time. I really don't think she was, I mean, just, I can't even remember how old she was, but she was really young. And I got a call from a friend, and she said, you know, there's this pro-life training. I really would like you to go with me. And I remember thinking, okay, well, I'm definitely pro-life, but I have no idea what kind of training I would need. And, you know, just kind of showed up with her. And I just remember being in awe, because there were people who were actually going to these killing centers, which are often called abortion clinics. And I just remember thinking, I cannot believe that these are in the city that I'm living in. I had lived so many years wearing that pro-life badge and thinking, well, I would never have an abortion and I don't believe in this. But I had really never done anything in the realm of rescuing these babies. And so I remember you go to the training, and then the next day they take you out to these killing centers so you can pray and just see, you know, what it's about on the sidewalks. And it really affected me. I mean, I remember feeling nauseous, like just really sick to my stomach that this was going on. But I also remember feeling like, you know, I went to the training, but I don't think this is really for me. This is for like radical people. I went home and I wrestled with God for a while on it. Like, he just wouldn't let it go. It was something that I felt like I had to be there. And so I surrendered to what he had for me. And that was, I guess it wasn't very much long after that, I actually became a team lead. And what that means is, you know, I took a day of the week and led a team every single week. And there's people that are out there every day that babies are being murdered in these clinics. There's people that are out there. So I led one day of the week. And it just became part of our life. You know, it is something we do as a family. And a big part of our story is that we knew that Blythe's birth mom had felt some pressure from Blythe's birth father to consider abortion. We didn't know the whole story behind everything, but I remember when, you know, she and her family found out that we were part of this ministry at that point. And I just remember talking to her about it. And I remember it was just a neat experience to hear that she was so on board with what we were doing because it meant so much to her. And that she had a desire even one day to come out to that sidewalk and minister with us. And so that was kind of how it all started. And it's been, I think it's been about 7 or 8 years now that we have really been fully involved in going straight out to the clinic sites around the U.S. and really pleading for the lives of these innocent baby boys and girls.
Wow. So share with us about your ministry, because you've established a ministry called Option Adoption. What is that, and what do you do through that ministry?
Well, Option Adoption really came out of us being on the sidewalks. And so what I love about the sidewalk ministry is that we are extending the truth and love to these men and women as they are literally walking into a building to take the lives of their children, okay? And so I started to ask this question, since we knew the story of our daughter, and the story was she very easily could have had her life taken through this manner, but her mom was brave and chose adoption instead. So I started asking, hey, how many women choose adoption over abortion? And the statistic was so low, it's only around 2%. Mm. And that was, to me, I just could not understand it, couldn't believe it. And so my heart just really started saying, wait a second, there's got to be a ministry out there that is helping people who are on the front lines, like our family was, to help give them the message to these men and women who are abortion determined that adoption is an option for them. And I couldn't find anything. Now, there's agencies and, you know, adoption agencies and different things, and they have their own niche. But there was nothing that was happening on the front lines. And I thought, okay, I had just decided to homeschool our son. And obviously, Blythe was still very young. And I thought, there's no way God could be calling us to start a ministry. There's a lot of ministries in the world, but My husband and I, we just prayed a lot about it, and we saw that there was a need. So that is how Option Adoption started. And it was just a natural fit because we were already in Charlotte doing frontline work. And so we kind of tested the waters in Charlotte. And one thing after another, it now has led to being nationwide. So I get calls from anywhere in the U.S., really, you know, people who have heard about what we do. And so it has really grown. The Lord has really opened the doors, and we're seeing, you know, just hearts changing and considering adoption, because there's a lot of things that people might believe about adoption that actually aren't true. And so we're there as that neutral ground for them to be able to ask those questions and see it as a true option.
So Jessica, are you doing, because I'm aware of, even in my neck of the woods in New York, and you're probably very aware, sadly, of the abortion law that was just passed here in the past several months. And but I know of pregnancy resource centers in the area, and when a woman comes in and she gets her pregnancy test, and, you know, and she's abortion minded, they do mm-hmm. offer that counseling to let them know that adoption is an option. And a lot of women don't want to hear that. There seems to be some kind of a stigma to that, to adoption. Right. So are you connecting with pregnancy resource centers? How are you trying to get to these moms, or are you doing it right on the front lines?
Well, there's different ways that we do it. Obviously, the frontline component is, you know, kind of how we started. And we have worked with lots of pregnancy resource centers across the nation just to help them be able to educate their volunteers or their counselors. And then, you know, the layperson is actually a very critical component to this as well, because I can't tell you the number of calls that I receive from someone within church body who has a friend whose daughter is pregnant out of wedlock, let's say, and they just don't know what to say or what options they have. So we are actually in the middle of a project right now that is going to allow us to put videos up on our website where people are going to be able to log in at any time and watch some training videos of different situations and different adoptions that have occurred through option adoption. And I think that that's going to be a really great resource. I've done trainings inside of pregnancy resource centers with the volunteers, which has really been successful because, as you can imagine, if you're not really in the adoption world, you may not feel comfortable talking about it. And so we kind of want to break down those walls because I really have a dream that women see this as a true option instead of thinking it's foster care or thinking it's something that it's not. And so that's kind of why we're moving in this direction to do some videos and some different things that we can reach more people than just me answering and fielding phone calls.
Yeah, I think that's such a needed component of this. And I think it's not been really well thought through by the church, really, because I know when the law passed here in New York, making abortion legal, you know, right up to just right after the baby is even born, there was a lot of social media, you know, people were really outspoken. It really shook the church here in New York and awakened the church here in New York. But I was hearing a lot of, you know, a lot of well-intended but not really well-educated responses such as, we need to fund adoptions. That's what we need to do. That would save babies. And really, that's kind of like putting the cart before the horse, because if the mom doesn't choose life and even know that adoption is an option, there's not going to be anything to fund, you know, there's not. So it's not so much, you know, paying or funding adoptions, which I think is a wonderful idea, but that's not really the answer to this crisis. It is bringing that awareness and that education so that expectant moms can understand that choosing life for her baby and making an adoption plan is such a hugely important parenting decision. And
I totally agree. And I can just tell you that, you know, in order for this to shift, I think you're exactly right about, you know, people making, you know, these statements. And I know that they want to be helpful, but, you know, it really has to begin, in my opinion, with a mother truly understanding what an abortion is. Okay, you're taking the life of your innocent son or daughter. And when that occurs, when someone really understands the gravity of what they're doing, I think then you're set up for a heart to be more tender to the fact that that child deserves to live. And if they cannot parent, then their option is adoption. And, you know, I go back to that scripture all the time when I'm counseling women and men in this arena, is that essentially, every single time that the enemy tempts us to sin, and we know abortion is sin because abortion is murder in the eyes of God. Every single time he tempts us to sin, God gives us a way out. Mm. Well, my heart knows, and yours does too, that adoption is that way out for many. And I see many women actually choose to parent, which is amazing. I love that. But there are situations that just do not lend itself for that woman to parent. And so that is exactly, you know, why we do what we do. And we go to the front lines, and it's not popular and people don't want to be there because it's sticky, but you know, it's so worth it. It's worth it. It really is.
So that number, 2% of abortion-minded women choose adoption. That's the number that we need to change, because that means 98% are abortion-minded. And we need to turn that around. So I love what you're doing. And I know recently you organized a day of mourning here in the Albany, New York area where I live. I was actually out of town and unfortunately could not attend. But somebody told me about your story and said, oh, this, you know, Jessica would make a great interview. A friend of mine in North Carolina. And when she sent me the YouTube video, I'm watching it and I'm like, wait, what? This took place in Albany. So
I wish you could have been there with us. It was amazing. Yeah. It was just amazing.
But, and it was amazing. I watched that. There is a YouTube video of you, Jessica, and Blythe, and Blythe's birth mom from that Albany day of mourning. And it was just incredible. So I'll make sure that our listeners get a link to that so that they can even see and watch that, because that was incredible.
Yeah.
So Jessica, share with us about that experience for others like myself who were not actually there.
Well, I'll tell you how it all started. Essentially, we had been down in Mississippi. They have one abortion clinic left in Mississippi. And we were down with a group essentially praying outside that abortion clinic and just really hoping that they would close down and talking to the legislators there. And I think on the day back, it was the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. And this is when Governor Cuomo came out with the bill that he was going to pass. And you living in Albany, I'm sure you had so much news footage of this, but it really rocked the U.S., if you remember. And he is sitting there smiling, mm-hmm. and then decides to light up whatever buildings he lit up in pink in honor and excitement over the bill that you can kill a child up until your due date. Yes. And so what we started to see was, oh my goodness, people are really up in arms about this, like they have not been in a very long time. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, 7 other states had already had a bill like this in place. Okay. Not the first state to do it, but something about this particular incident, if you remember, everybody was up in arms. So my friend Elizabeth Johnson and I were talking and really just felt this tug that God was saying to put together something that would be a repentance prayer event for the church. And so we decided to call it the Day of Mourning and everybody wear black. One, because we're mourning the deaths of over 61 million babies in our country so far that have been killed by abortion since Roe versus Wade was instituted. And that was how everything started. And I'll tell you, it was only 3 weeks of putting it all together. Wow. Until we were standing in Albany. So it was just honestly all God, because to put something like that at that level together in that short period of time, I actually had people who were event planners calling me and telling me it really could not be done. And I thought, well, this is exactly the kind of thing God likes, right? Like, yeah. He loves to like take things that really can't be done and then he does them. That's and right. So I was like just privileged to be part of that he was able to use me to help put that together. It was an amazing event, because the whole premise behind it is that we as the body of Christ first need to repent for our part in this. And what I mean by that is, and I know some listeners may be like, well, what does she mean? I mean, it's not like we're out having abortions. Well, the church, in my opinion, if they had stood up back when Roe versus Wade was passed, we wouldn't have abortion in our nation right now. It wouldn't be legalized, at least. And so we have to own our part in sticking our heads in the sand at times, not standing up for what we have been called to stand up for. If we don't stand up for the most innocent among us who are being led to the slaughter, there's something very wrong, something very, very wrong. And so that was the whole idea behind why we did what we did. And it was a beautiful event. It really was. I mean, seeing that many people on their faces before the Lord, and it really sparked a fire in many people to go out. And now many of those people are on the front lines and making a difference. And voices are being heard that, you know, we no longer are going to sit idly by and just allow this to happen.
That's right. And there was like 4,000 people who showed up to repent in Albany for the Day of Mourning.
Yes. We had to turn people away. We didn't have enough seats. And I think we ended up having, 37,000 people streaming live. It was really an amazing thing, because we didn't know if anyone even knew about it. You know, like, think about this. From day one to the very end, it was 3 weeks. We literally, Elizabeth and I, are driving up to Albany. We know nobody in Albany. I mean, I don't know if like understand the gravity of that. Like, we have just planned this event. We have no clue how many people are coming. We did have an Eventbrite ticketing system, so we had a little bit of a clue, but, you know, sometimes you just don't know for sure. And we were just praying the whole way, you know, God, just let your will be done. And so it was pretty amazing to watch that unfold.
Yeah, I did see it promoted on social media locally. There was some churches
and
that were promoting it, because I do believe that when Cuomo signed the law, and then his just that evil arrogance of lighting up the Empire State Building, even buildings in Albany were lit up pink. I think that it really did wake up the church here. It's one thing to wake up, but then it's another thing to know what to do next. You know, and that's where we're at. So I'm thrilled to hear that there are people who have decided that they're called to the front lines, just like you are. And I'm having these conversations, it's vital so people can be educated and can know what is available. Because it's, you know, you can't just take to social media and think, well, I did my part. I spoke out against this, because that's not really doing a whole lot. We really do need to put hands and feet to this. So I so much appreciate, you know, what you've been doing and the work you've been doing. And then just tell us a little bit about Blythe, because she actually took the main stage with you there and told some of her story. And I do encourage our listeners, I'll post the link to the YouTube video of the event so that they can actually see the video of this. But it was just so powerful and so incredible that she shared her story. And is she 7 years old?
She's eight.
She's eight now. So give us a little glimpse of that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you a little funny side story. You know, she had never spoken in front of anyone before, okay? And so this was like, oh my goodness, is she really going to do it? And so I remember my husband and I walked her into where we were going to be speaking the next day and put her on the stage and just said, okay, you know, let's practice. And she did. She had her little cards and she practiced. And then the minute that the sound tech guys decided that they wanted to hear her voice on the microphone, she heard it the first time and she said, I don't think I'm going to do it. And I said, oh, no, you need to do this. There's people like that really want to hear you. It was just a funny moment. So she is really close to her dad. I mean, they have such a sweet relationship. So my husband looked at me and said, hey, why don't you let me work with her a little bit, and you can kind of work on some other things. And I said, okay. So about an hour later, I get a text. She did great. She nailed it. So I wanted to give that backstory because, you know, you can look at that video and think everything, like she'd been speaking for years, but it really wasn't like that. So this was her first speaking experience. She's very passionate about this topic, because when you're a child that you know your testimony, you know your story, and you know that this could have happened to you, there's something inside of you, at least for my daughter, that dwells up, and she is just a powerhouse when it comes to this subject. And so it was a very sweet moment. You know, I'm walking her up to the stage, and I actually spoke as well, and I had not prepared anything because I was so concerned that my child was not going to speak. And so I'm walking up there, and I remember bending down and whispering in her ear, you know, Blythe, you were born for this moment. You were born for this. God gave you this testimony, and you're going to change the world today by what you say. And I think, you know, she really held on to that. We went up the little steps and got onto the stage, and if you look on the video, she looks at me a few times, and I kind of tell her, it's okay, it's okay. And a couple days after, she said, Mommy, do you know why I kept looking at you? And I said, no, why, honey? And she said, because this fear came over my whole body. Mm-hmm. And when you told me it was okay, she said, I just asked God to give me peace about what I was going to do. And she said, instantly, from my head to my toes, it all went away, mm-hmm. and I had a peace. And, you know, if you watch the video, you can see she gets into her groove a little bit after she starts talking and gets, you know, more passionate. And so it was really special to experience that with her. because I know God is using our little girl in a big way to speak out on this injustice. And, you know, she essentially calls herself an abolitionist, and I love that. I love that she wants to abolish abortion, and I believe God's going to continue to use her. And I'm really, and honestly, I'm just privileged to be able to stand on stages across the country with her. We've had more ministry opportunities as a mother and daughter team since Albany, and it's really special.
And it just really reinforces the fact that adoption is really the option, because look at what God is doing with the life of this little girl. And if
right.
she hadn't been brave and made that decision to choose adoption instead of abortion, she wouldn't be here. But every life has value and purpose, and God created Blythe with a purpose. And she is just out there glorifying him at all of 8 years old, telling her story. And you're right. I agree, Jessica. She was born for this. So I'm just so excited and thrilled to see her walking in her calling as young as she is. That is so amazing and exciting. I can't wait to see all that God does with that.
Some of these. I know. I tell you, she's a powerhouse and a fireball. I love that about her. And
well, God uses that, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. I told her, it was interesting. We were at a ministry event together at a women's, we were speaking at a women's event, and, you know, I tend to lead it, of course, because, you know, she's eight, but of course they want to hear her. And I just said to her, Blythe, I can't wait for the day that we switch places, and it won't be long before I'm here to assist you. And it was just an exciting thought, because I've got this eight-year-old who is to hold out for Jesus. And that has been my desire as a mom since I've been a mom from day one, was that my children would know early in life what their purpose is that God has given them, and live it out, and not wait until they're adults, and not wait till they're teenagers or any of that. And I've been blessed with both my kids. Really and truly, God has blessed us. And so Blythe is just really neat to watch that happen in her life.
Yeah. Well, God has given them very intentional parents, and that's part of it as well. So Jessica, as we wrap up our conversation here, what do you want our listeners to take away today? What's their takeaway from what we've been talking about?
Well, I would say the first thing is, I would love for your listeners to know that we as the body of Christ are called to do more than just wear that pro-life badge. And I say that because I did that for so many years, where I just thought, well, it's not something I would do. I wouldn't have an abortion, and I'm not for it. But you know what? We are called to do more. Now, I don't know what that is for each person, okay? So obviously, I know my calling has been frontline ministry. And I can tell you that if other believers would join in, and even if they just went to these killing centers and prayed, you know, we would end abortion in America.
Yeah.
Because it is effective. We were just somewhere for an entire week, and just by being out in front of the clinics, 10 babies were saved.
Oh, wow.
Just from being out in front of a clinic for a few days. I mean, like, think about that happening all across America. Mm-hmm. So I would love for your listeners to know that, you know, if you're hearing this message today, maybe God is tugging you in a direction to do more. And I can't say exactly what that is, but, you know, we are not called to put our heads in the sand. And yes, this is a controversial subject, but Jesus was controversial too. And, you know, as long as we are telling the truth and doing it in love, then we're following right in his footsteps. Mm-hmm. But that's the main message I would want them to hear. And as for the adoption component, it's just that, you know, we're in a time where people have some preconceived notions, who are abortion determined, of what adoption is and what it isn't. And so, you know, we want to be part of the solution to making adoption the other option. We want to wipe abortion off the table and replace that with adoption. So parenting is an option and adoption is the other option. That's really our heart. And so that would be the other message that I would really want them to hear, and just be praying that for our ministry and how we can make that happen.
Yeah, and definitely you, Jessica, your family and your ministry need to be covered in prayer, because there's a lot of warfare that surrounds this topic. It is controversial, not only in the church, mm-hmm. not only in, you know, the United States, but in the spiritual realm. It's controversial,
yes.
because there's an enemy,
right.
an enemy to mm-hmm. life. And we
right.
really want to see adoption and parenting as the option and wipe abortion off the table. I absolutely agree. So we would just challenge our listeners to be praying about what you're called to do. We are all called to do more. Like you said, Jessica, what is mm-hmm. your more? What would God have you do? So Jessica, thank you for all that you are doing, advocating for life and for adoption. Thank you for sharing your story today.
Thank you for having me.
It's an honor, and we want our listeners to know that you can learn more about Jessica and her ministry at option-adoption.com. They're also on Facebook, and we want to thank you for listening today. I am your host, Sandra Flack, and I'd also like to thank some local businesses and churches and folks who really care about kids and families in crisis. I'm going to list off some businesses that are all table sponsors for our upcoming September 2019 fundraising banquet. So we have, I'm going to list them off here. We have Lawler Family Painting of Catskill, Collins and Sons of Ravenna, Tumble Rock Cabins of Duanesburg, Redeemer Church of Albany, Miller Animal Hospital of Troy, Thiel Carting of Ravenna, New Scotland Paving of Voorheesville, Barb and Dan Bernesser, local family from the Ravenna-Coxsackie area, and also Crossroads Ford, Prosecco Oil, the Bank of Greene County, and Heart Ear Boutique of Glenmont. These are all incredible businesses. They care about kids, and they're supporting our organization, so a big shout out to them. So you can find more episodes of this podcast on our website at justicefororphansny.org. Also on iTunes and Google Play, just search for the show by name, Orphans No More. Be sure to follow the podcast and share it on your social media. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at Justice for Orphans. JFO is a nonprofit ministry on a mission to inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls. Maybe it's adoption or foster care, getting your church involved in Care Portal. You can learn more, you can contact us, donate online, just visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.